Washington.
Good evening and welcome to the Raucous Caucus, live now. Live at Ben's Next Door. Next door to Ben's Chili Bowl, 12th and June. Mark, Terry, and Garland, three minds linked and locked in analysis, wit, and sagacity. Every Tuesday night, live. Live right here, 7 p.m. WPFW 89.3 FM. Welcome again, live with Terry, Mark, and Garland, and the Raucous Caucus.
Good evening and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine sitting here with
Garland Nixon
and
Terry D. Kester. It's so good to see you again.
And we are here at Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street. There are plenty of empty seats. You're welcome to join us here.
Only six empty seats.
Well,
hurry up.
Maybe seven or eight. Yeah. There is room for you to join us because we are now for the first time, and I suspect will not be the last time, talking about the 2012 presidential race.
Already?
It's only 18 months away.
Oh, no.
In a year and a half, America will go and will vote and will determine whether or not President Obama is reelected for president or whether or not a whole series of people can, one of whom or two of whom with the vice president, can take his place.
Can we pretend we're in Australia and wait until it's only 6 months before the election?
No, because in America, we have perennial elections that go on for a long, long period of time.
Sort of like perpetual war.
Perpetual elections.
Both take lots of money and keep us in the thrall of corporations.
Love the empire.
Today, I want to talk about the field. The Republican field, I think we know the Democratic field. My guess is Obama and Biden.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
I think they're going to run again.
That's pretty narrow.
Yeah, I think so.
What about John Kerry?
I don't think any of us could stand that. So we're going to talk about the Republican field because it has narrowed a bit. The people who are in, the people who are out, the people the Republicans want to be in.
Wait a minute. They began narrow.
The
Republican Party is narrow.
Well, it's narrow-minded, but that's a different thing, Terry.
It's divine intervention here. This light just went
out. Wow, there's lights popping on and off here.
So, first I want to talk about the people who did not get into the race because in many ways they're more interesting with more personality than the people that are in the race.
And more sense for some of them.
First and foremost is the person who tricked, I don't know whom, not me, tricked the press into believing he was actually running, a guy that was actually just trying to promote his television show, a man by the name of Donald Trump.
Oh, pathetic. Let's not even
now,
go there.
Now, I, for the record, never thought he was actually running. Did you, Garland?
Well, I thought he was, but I didn't think I thought that financial disclosure thing would kind of really, you know, make him feel kind of antsy.
The only thing Donald Trump was running was his ego.
And his mouth. He ran his mouth a lot.
His ego has been running for many
years.
Yes,
it certainly has. I was in New York when he was there building all his empires and destroying everything else. Pathetic man. Sorry.
But I think Garland's right. I think it was the financial disclosure that finally did him in. He knew he couldn't tell us where the money actually
I think
was.
It was the correspondence dinner or whatever it was where all the jokes were made about him. And he realized for the first time in his life, he's a joke.
Yes, and he had no sense of humor.
He really is.
If he were really running, he would have laughed at the jokes and pretended that they didn't hit him so badly.
The man needs help. Actually, he really does.
All right, I never thought he was running. I'm just kind of mad at the media, frankly, for taking him seriously. All right, so let's move on to the other wannabes, notably Huckabee.
Huckabee.
Now, Huckabee was someone that the media and many thought he was going to run. He did run four years ago. Did pretty well, arguably second place last year.
He's no slouch.
Last time around.
And I like Mike Huckabee.
He's a likable bigot.
He's one of the more moderate Republicans.
Yeah, and he's actually got a touch of humility in some areas. He's not a self-righteous bastard.
Not that
like
I'd ever
Donald
vote for him, don't get me wrong.
Can I say bastard on the air?
No, you can't.
I didn't say it.
All right. Now, he's a likable guy. I mean, he seems very likable.
Yeah.
He's also got some pretty extreme policies.
Oh,
but he delivers them in that folksy manner.
Yeah.
That really, you know.
Yeah, and I think he was not, you know, he wasn't really a hypocrite. I mean, he was who he was, and he presented who he was, which in some ways I admire. I do admire that. even if I disagree with him.
The thing about Mike Huckabee, I'll say about, there's a couple things I like about Mike Huckabee, really. And that one is that he doesn't always go with the crowd. I remember when they started the whole, Jeremiah Wright thing, and he said, nah, you know, leave that alone. There's been several times when they've come out with kind of outlandish issues.
Right.
And Mike Huckabee has been the adult in the room
and said,
look, you know, let's be honest. You know, I may not agree with this guy's policies, but what you're saying is ridiculous.
Yeah. And of course, he's pro-corporation and anti-gay. And
well, yeah, that's good. Yeah, right. Goes unsaid.
He's got some problems.
All right, okay. You
know. Like I said, not that I'd ever vote for the guy.
So he's not running. Let's talk about another guy who just pulled out recently, a guy by the name of Mitch Daniels, former Office Management Budget Director.
Governor of Indiana.
Uh-huh. Everyone said he was the adult in the room.
But his wife told him not to run.
That's exactly
so
right.
So now we know who's the adult in that room.
Apparently his wife was with him, then she was with somebody else, then she came back with him.
Right.
And those in the know, or at least those who think they know, think that there's something there that he didn't want to disclose, and that's why he didn't run.
Daniels makes a little more sense, certainly with some of his economic policies, than all of the other stooges. I mean, he really does.
Well, the media, I think, wanted him to run. I mean, they thought he was someone who was reasonably responsible.
Yeah, but, you know, this guy, I mean, his wife's telling him whether or not to run. You just don't see this guy sending in SEAL Team 6 for Bin Laden, you know? You see him calling his wife and asking, send her in after Bin Laden.
I don't think I would go that far. I think, Daniel, if it was a candidate that I would like to see run in terms of actually having an intelligent debate, which is almost impossible.
Yeah, I was about
Daniels
to say.
Would be one I would
I'm glad Daniel's not in the race. I think he was a formidable candidate and would have been hard to beat.
Yeah, he's weak as a soft crab. That's my perspective. Yeah.
So let's just go with the stooges we've got and forget about Daniels.
You know. All right. Well, there's actually two stooges, or whatever you want to call them. There are two women who have not yet announced whether they are running.
Oh, boy.
Sarah.
And frankly, I have to say that if I could choose a Republican ticket, it would have both these women on it.
Even
I want Palin Bachman in 2012.
Even one of Obama's people said off the record, you know, if Palin or Bachman runs, they're not worth it.
They should run together.
Yeah.
They're not
crazy
worried at
and
all.
Crazier.
You know,
it would be great. Dumb and Dumber.
So slam dunk.
Hey, just so many jokes you could make.
Of the two of those, Sarah Palin is the intellectual.
That's right.
That's what scares me about
that. She's the same one.
She's the same one. Yeah.
Right. I actually think of those two, Sarah Palin will not run, and I think Michelle Bachman will run. That's my prediction.
She just won't know which. She'll be confused. She'll never know which state she's campaigning in. So, you know, she'll be in Rhode Island, think it's Massachusetts.
Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachman?
No, Michelle Bachman.
Because she was looking at the wrong camera?
Yeah, because she never seems to know where battles were fought in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, Sarah's got this
She's
new
geographically challenged.
Right, let's take them one at a time.
Yeah, Sarah's got this new book out, too, you know, by this guy Bailey. You know,
we'll start with Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I actually think, and this is the only time I will ever use these two words together, I think Sarah Palin is too smart to run. The only time I've ever used those smart and Palin in the same sentence.
Did you hear that?
That's right.
We've just lost 500 listeners.
I think she is too smart to run for office. She's got a good things going. She's making a million a year.
Like Huckabee?
Cold million a year at Fox.
She knows if
she runs for office, she has to actually have a program, actually have ideas, actually answer tough questions that she knows are way above her head.
I agree with you,
actually. This way, she is someone who can be a focus of media attention, a focus of Tea Party people. If she runs, she will go down in flames, and then no one will ever take her seriously again, instead of today when only 10% of people take her seriously.
Yeah. And she
will not run.
And she does have too much ego, and you're exactly right. I'm not sure it's smart, but she is egotistical. She is very, very ambitious, as any candidate is. But, you know, she's got a better cake right now.
I'm going to take a different perspective. I'm going to take a different point.
You think she's running?
Oh. I think she's not smart enough not to run.
so you think she's going to run?
I don't think she has sense enough to realize what she's doing if she runs. And I think
you predict she's entering the ring?
Yeah, yeah. High ego, low IQ.
I hope you're right.
I think she's going to run.
So does Obama hope she's
going to run. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I think she's going to run.
On behalf of the Raucous Caucus, then we all agree – run, Sarah, run.
Yeah, run, Sarah, run.
We want to see
Palin 2012
as a Republican nominee.
Teamed up with Bachman.
In 2012.
That's the key.
Now,
what a team.
Michelle
they
Bachman.
They can fight for whichever one they want to be president.
I think Michelle Bachman will run, and I'll tell you why. Unlike Sarah Palin, who's already sort of made her mark and is already on the decline. Her 15 minutes of fame.
Yep.
She's in minute 14:30 and it's about up. Michelle Bachmann is on the ascent.
Yeah.
People are just now learning who she is.
That's why we've got 18 months, you see.
And she is, in some ways, the doyen of the Tea Party. She is someone who the Tea Party looks to. After all, I can't think of a single case in recent political history where you had a Democratic presidential speech, a Republican response, and then a third party response. I don't know whether they did that with the Bull Moose and Teddy Roosevelt. I wasn't there. Terry.
I was. Well, we didn't have good television.
Okay,
then. Television was terrible in 1912.
But she clearly thinks that she is representing
color was bad too.
A third force in American politics, and I think she wants to put herself out there.
There is
I think Michelle Bachmann's going to run.
I do. Now, look, I'll say this. In some ways, she's right. She does represent a third force.
Yeah.
However, that third force is so small as to be insignificant in helping a Republican win, but that third force can be very significant in helping Democrats to win.
Hold it. Why are you calling that force so small after the congressional election we've just had and after all the money that we know is behind that small group?
I'll tell you exactly why. That's a very good point. A very good point, Terry.
Money.
And I can run right off that. Okay, if we look at what happened in Delaware. What this third force does is they're very ideological and they're not very politically pragmatic. So they tend to support people who can't get elected in a general election. And I said after the midterms, they cost the Republicans the Senate. And come 2012, they're going to feel empowered. They're going to feel like they have their own caucus in both the House and the Senate. And they're going to move to overturn. Look at some of the people they've targeted. Orrin Hatch.
Bob Bennett.
Targeted some very staunch Republicans because they want people even more conservative. So I say this third force in the Republican Party is going to be the force that hurts the Republican
Party. And I'll tell you this, if Michelle Bachmann does run.
It's not going to help the country, that's for sure.
I think it will in a reverse way. If Michelle Bachmann runs and enough people get upset with the standard Republican Party to support her, and she doesn't win because she won't win the nomination.
She'll never be nominated.
I hope she does, but she won't.
Right.
What will happen? A lot of those voters will be turned off. If she wants to run as a third party, I welcome it. Just like the right welcomed Ralph Nader, I would welcome Michelle Bachmann as a third
party.
I
think you guys are wrong in one basic reason.
Okay.
This country is further to the right than I think you think it is. And it's also a hell of a lot more scary. I keep on saying these bad words.
We can tell you that, Terry.
There's more fear in this country than you think there is, and there's an economic situation that is not going to improve.
I agree.
And as long as that's not going to improve, the fear level is up here, and that third movement has appeal, unfortunately. A lot of appeal. It's foolish.
Enough to nominate Michelle Bachmann?
If we dismiss that third party's power, that third movement's power, we're making a big mistake.
I don't think we're dismissing them. I'm not dismissing them. I think I don't think
they're not self-defeating.
I don't think we're saying they can't have a significant impact.
Yeah.
I think the issue is, what will that significant impact be?
They won't get anything with the presidency. I don't disagree with you there. But if they gain the Senate and they're working on it,
Because look at what they've already done. They've already done
Delaware and Nevada.
Yep.
They got at least.
Yeah.
And likely Colorado too.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, somebody's got to have the guts, either Democrat or Republican, to start attacking these fools. Because if they don't, it's really going to get dark around.
Let's get back to the people running for president. And also, I want to encourage our listeners to come on down to Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street.
There's only five seats left
here,
now.
And you can add your two cents to the fray, and we'd be glad to hear from you.
And we're right here on 89.3 FM, WPFW, here in Washington, every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., the Raucous Caucus.
That
is true. We're actually at 1211 U Street.
1211
the station is – we're not at 39.
Next week we will be here.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
next
okay.
week is the fifth Tuesday. We will be here at Ben's Next Door. Please join us, 1211 U Street, next week. Now,
anyway,
let's talk about the people who are actually in the race. And my personal favorite.
Newt.
Oh, I was going to go there.
Eye of Newt.
My personal favorite. Who
Eye
had
of Newt.
A tremendous opening week. Really, just glorious. let me count the ways.
I love
it. Newt Gingrich stuck both feet both arms, and several other people's feet in his mouth.
But he helped
all
us.
All in 1 week.
He helped us. Do you realize that?
I do realize that.
He said to repeal Medicare and mess with it would be a right-wing social engineering.
What he said was...
I love you, Newt. I love you.
The Ryan plan was a radical plan. Yeah. And he's as much against right-wing social engineering as he is against left-wing social engineering.
Gotta
and what
him.
Newt Gingrich said actually would win him, help him in the general.
You're right.
And will destroy him for the Republican
nomination.
That's
the problem. The issue. That's the big issue. And it's an issue we've talked about in the past many times, and that is in order for a person to win the Republican nomination, they have to go so far out of the mainstream that they can't get back there when it comes to the general election.
Well Newt famously,
but back to Newt. I love Newt.
Newt famously said, after saying on Meet the Press that the Ryan plan was radical right-wing social engineering, he famously got schooled by Bob Bennett on the radio and said, disown it. Disown it completely.
That. You can't say that.
And then Newt not only disowned it, but said anyone that would accurately quote what I accurately said on Sunday is putting forward a lie because I disown what I said on Sunday, which has got to be one of the best political quotes. Do not quote me accurately, because if you you're a liar. Right. Something wonderfully
philosophically, I got to think about that for a while. Yeah, it just makes my smoke come out of my ears.
And anyone really who believes that Newt accidentally, after 34 times on Meet the Press, on his 35th time, accidentally trotted out the words right-wing social engineering instead of actually that being his plan to try to win
the completely unplanned.
Right, it was completely – and just whoops, I accidentally called something right-wing social engineering.
But the other side of that coin is – and I mean I've had the privilege or shame, whatever you want to put – I've worked with Newt on a couple of major –
You've worked with Newt?
Yes, I have with a couple
of – Do you have warts?
No, I don't. With a couple of major events that I produced and staged.
I have Newt.
And I will tell you this. That guy is sharp. And to underestimate Newt is another real big mistake. That is one sharp man.
Well, I'll tell you something. He's a little too sharp for his own good, because he was.
Could be.
He was right. The funny thing is he doesn't know his own party. See, Newt represents the Republicans of the 90s who supported cap and trade, who supported individual mandate for health care, who supported
adultery.
Package.
He supported adultery. Give the guy credit.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot to talk about with Newt Gingrich. We could do the whole show on him. He's one of the more interesting characters.
Yep.
My point is that he didn't change. The Republican Party changed.
That's right.
And he learned in the 90s that Americans actually like Medicare. They actually like Social Security. And when Republicans want to abolish it, as they tried in the 90s,
they
tried again in the O's under Bush.
He's a fast learner. He's
work.
A fast learner. There's
but
no question
his party doesn't realize what Newt knows.
Wait a minute.
So he had to walk it back.
What is the? Where is the special election? Upstate New York?
Yes.
What's going on with that?
I believe that's tonight.
Yes.
It's between Rochester and Buffalo. It's a three-way race.
This is
a district that's been Republican for, I don't know, a century
100 years or so,
And this is a case the Democrat may well win because, first of all, there's a Tea Party candidate taking about 10%.
Taking away the votes.
And secondly, the Republican supports the Ryan plan to kill Medicare.
And the Democrat has been just tying the Republican to that constantly.
Medicare. They want to kill Medicare.
Yeah.
So the irony is Newt tells the truth. And goes down in flames.
But he won't. He'll resurface. He ain't going away.
But you know, there's other glorious Newt things that we really can't let go. Newt also called Obama the food stamp president.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
And then denied it had anything to do with race.
Well, he learned that from Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh came up with that phrase first, I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
I just read a whole series of quotes from good old Rush.
Yes.
So, you know. But I mean, underestimating these guys.
You said he's smart.
He is.
And he makes a racist.
Have you ever watched this man in action in a speech in a public situation? He is a brilliant lecturer. He really is.
What's he doing with the racist?
Well, here's the think about this though. Think about the race issue when it comes to him.
Is it coded
Let's face
racism?
It, he's familiar with
People
history.
People don't know what that
and,
means.
He's familiar with history, and think about where his roots come from. His political roots were in the 80s, Reagan administration. Right. Remember
Willie Horton,
the welfare queen, etc., the whole Southern strategy. So when he cut his teeth in politics, that Southern strategy and using those kind of code words was very effective. So I would suspect.
Do you think nobody would know what that meant? He denied it.
But keep in mind.
He said when asked on Meet the Press, was this obviously a racial thing? Oh, no, food stamp president.
But keep in mind.
Nothing to do
with keep in mind who he was talking to. When people say things like that, they're talking to the people who know exactly what they're talking about. Yes. They talk to their base. He was talking to a
did
very...
Did he not know that people have iPhones today and record things?
Well, I don't... Let's see. Remember, we're still talking about getting through the primaries.
Yeah.
He was talking to people in the primaries that he felt that would welcome those kind of things and would wink, wink, say, we got you, Newt.
In other words, that's a success for him. He scored points with that.
Yeah,
you know
I think
what?
I agree.
He really did, and that's sad, but it's the truth.
It's not just that. Newt had a bad week in so many ways. It came out that he had a debt to Tiffany's between $250,000 and $500,000.
Don't we all? Don't you?
You know, I don't, actually. In fact, I don't.
Let's show our Tiffany jewelry
This watch was about $60 bucks, and it's probably one of the more expensive watches I've ever bought. $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 on Tiffany's. Is this for wife number one, two, or three? I'm confused.
No.
He was asked.
Yes, that's the answer.
Yeah, we have an answer. Yes, for the
guy.
He was asked by the Washington Post if he would like to comment on his $500,000 debt to Tiffany's, and he said no.
My understanding is
that's a direct quote. No,
good decision.
My understanding was he said, "Are you kidding? If my wife found out about that, she'd kill me."
Which wife?
Which wife? And let's not forget that Mr. Family Values. What he left the first wife while she was dying of cancer, and
adultery while she was dying
with the nurse that was taking care of her.
But you know what? And here's the thing about all of that. I think the American people looks at the world today and says, people get divorced and married and all kinds of things happen. I think what happens is people look at the hypocrisy more than anything else.
That's right.
Newt's life. Nobody's concerned. I'm not overly concerned with Newt's life, whether I agree or disagree with it. But when you go after Bill Clinton and you play all of these family values
things. He was Mr. Impeachment.
And then you're doing, right, and you're doing the opposite. It's your life. I don't want to know about it, especially Newt's life.
No,
I really don't want to know about it. Take my word for it. Yeah. But
Bill Clinton
the
never
problem
claimed
is
to be
the hypocrisy.
Safe, so I was okay with it.
Yeah, there's one thing I don't want our government or me to be ever be, and that's in Newt's bedroom. I don't want to go there. I don't want to
take my word for it. There are a lot of people that have been in Newt's bedroom.
You've just given our listeners an awful image, Jerry, that they're going to have to try to scrub now.
It's scary. It really
got
is.
Glitter thrown at him.
I actually
think Newt Gingrich, his best weeks are behind him. I think
Weeks are behind him.
His best minutes. I actually think he has torpedoed his campaign
and
he's out of it. But I'll tell
you, that's why we have 18 months.
I want him to run with Bachman if Palin doesn't run. Bachman, Gingrich.
Wait a minute. What if he has an affair with Bachman or Sarah?
Oh, I'm not going there, Terry.
Okay. No.
It's
a possibility.
There.
I mean, you know, it could work.
All right. So now that Newt's out of the way, we're left with the far less exciting candidates. In fact, the most exciting one is probably the CEO of Godfather's Pizza.
Oh, Herman Cain.
He at least has some excitement. He's got some energy. And according to Frank Luntz, Mr. Pollster won the first debate that nobody watched because we were all cared about Bin Laden at the time.
Well, I saw part of it, and let me say this about Frank Cain.
You actually saw that debate?
I saw part of it. But let me say
pizza,
this.
Pizza. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was on Fox. But at any rate, here's the thing about it. This guy is nothing but a rhetoric machine. That's all he is.
To say
he won the government, this is what the kind of things he says. Big government, tax and spend, no good. Your most basic, simplistic, right-wing rhetoric. There is nothing behind it.
Works at NASCAR.
Mr. Talking Points.
To tell you.
Yeah.
Before we go on to other candidates, I see Anthony here is standing up.
And he's taking notes, which really scares me.
I know you have some quote to make about the presidential race, right?
I have many quotes about many different things. No,
okay,
you're in?
I don't want that job for either party. But I think that us progressives are making a mistake under appreciating and kind of dismissing the Republicans. We have to remember
the midterm elections.
We have to remember the midterm elections. We have to remember the midterm.
Point being,
Republicans have shown their ability over and over and over again to kind of dismiss all kinds of logic and intellectual prowess to vote for the idiot. So doing it again is not beyond the pause. And Michelle Bachman, I think, is also a lot bigger of a threat than we think as well, because she's going to benefit from the Palin force field. She's going to benefit from the fact that all of the criticism and all the negative energy that people felt like Sarah Palin got from the right media and all of that stuff, you know, Michelle Bachman is not going to have to answer the hard questions. She's going to be able to repulse that sort of stuff.
Oh, I think they're going to ask her some hard questions.
If she goes on
Meet the Press, she's going to have a difficult time.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, you know, the media is going to be thinking twice. You know, people are going to think about the questions that they ask her because of the response that Sarah Palin got from
really?
Having similar but kind of questions.
Is it because she's a woman or because she's a crazy Tea Partier?
Yeah,
you think the media is going to be nicer to her than the men?
If you think about how the Republicans responded to the sort of basic elemental questions that we asked to Sarah Palin, and they threw out the sexist bomb, they acted like, you know, we were talking about her, you know, we were misrepresenting her or asking her bad questions because she was a woman or because she was, you know, ditzy or whatever. You know, I think that sort of mentality is going to kind of shield Michelle Bachmann from a lot of the hard questions, just as it shielded Sarah Palin a little later on.
Before
you go on to your next topic, I want to discuss this amongst ourselves because you've raised a good point. Gentlemen, do you agree with our listener, Anthony, that the media is going to give a bit of a pass to Michelle Bachmann?
The media always does. And I say that in the sense I have a number of friends that, you know, are way up there in the media, a little bit beyond the Raucous Caucus.
No one is beyond the Raucous Caucus.
I'm sorry. My mistake. You know, and, you know, it's all about access. It really is. It's incestuous.
Michelle Bachmann will not ask tough questions.
Not get back to Newt Gingrich.
They never tough questions on the mainstream media. Newt
Gingrich also complained. Newt Gingrich complained that David Gregory surprised him, that he, you know, at his 35th time on Meet the Press, he was shocked to ask a question how he thought about the Republican plan on Medicare. And not only did nobody buy it, but people started laughing at Newt. I don't see anyone running for president.
Whenever you discuss the likes of Michelle Bachmann and her ilk, you always have to remember there are two discussions here that we have to delineate. There is the Michelle Bachmann in the primaries, and there is Michelle Bachmann in the general election. There, any of these names that we look at, we have to look at them in from two perspectives. One, what happens in the primaries? Because in the primary, the Republicans going to run to the right, and the Democrats going to run to the left, and then they're going to both have
Obama
to come back.
Obama doesn't have to run anyway.
Anthony makes a good point. So this is my point. We underestimate these people. We're being very, very foolish. They have power. They're going to keep power. They're going to manipulate power. They have money. Good grief. Romney raised in one day, if you saw this, $10 million.
I promise
you. In one day.
We will get to Romney.
Now, add all these days up between now and election time. He's got the money. He's got more money than Obama's going to have.
Clowns and buffoons doesn't mean they're unelectable.
We're going to discuss all the clowns and buffoons. Thank you for your comment, Anthony.
Thank you, Anthony. I really appreciate it.
So we talked about Michelle Bachmann. Let's just finish on Herman Cain. He's going to at least provide some interest, keep us from falling asleep.
Don't leave out Buddy Romer. Buddy Romer, don't leave him out.
There are some people that are never discussed. Buddy Romer,
I interviewed him. The guy is good.
These are people that aren't even registering 1% in the polls.
Yeah. No, but that's prior to the debates. And the debates, as you know, will go on forever.
But if they're under 1%, they can't get in the debate.
Constantly.
I don't think Buddy Romer was in that debate.
No, he wasn't. He was under 1%. He couldn't get in the debate.
He will.
Because Gary Johnston of New Mexico, Libertarian, was there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he could get no sun because Ron Paul, the classic Libertarian, was always there. Now, Ron Paul is an interesting case because he is someone that will always get his, I would say, 10% or so of the electorate. They are fervently for him. They are strongly for him.
We're running out of time here, but when we come back, we got to cut to the chase because the real battle is going to be between Romney and Huntsman.
I disagree. I think it's Romney and Pawlenty.
No.
I think Romney and Pawlenty.
No.
But I don't know about Huntsman yet. We will get to the big three.
Yeah.
We will get to the big three after the break. Folks, if you are listening, driving in your car, 89.3 FM, WPFW, and you want to join the Raucous Caucus, just come on up to Ben's next door. Come on in the back, 1211 U Street. Join us. Ask your questions. Make your comments. We're glad to have you be part of us. And we'll be right back. The Raucous Caucus. Right.
WPFW's Community Advisory Board will be meeting at the station located at 2390 Champlain Street, Northwest Washington. The Community Advisory Board acts as a sounding board for programming, and all its meetings are open to the public. To submit concerns or comments to the Community Advisory Board, please email Rachel Pope at pope_rachel@wpfw.org or call 202-588-0999, extension 360. Thank you.
Into the Night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Welcome back to the Raucous Caucus.
And let's hear it for the Raucous Caucus. Come on, come on, get the work out here. Yeah, all right.
We're before a live crowd at 1211 U Street, next door to Ben's Chili
live.
Bowl at Ben's Next Door. You're welcome to join us. I am Mark Levine. I am sitting here with
Terry D. Kester, the
and
man of
Garland R. Nixon.
R.
And it ain't R. For
you never
it
talk about
it. It ain't for Richard.
I'm glad to hear that. Hey, before we get back to our topic, which is the presidential race, the first time we've talked about it, it's only 18 months away.
Oh, I hate this.
We are having an unveiling next week. Carolyn Romano, a local artist,
yes.
Who, by the way, you can find her work at the
Torpedo Factory, right?
Torpedo Factory,
yeah,
in Old Town
Alexandria. Yeah.
Has designed for us a poster, because a lot of times people come to Ben's Next Door and they don't realize we're upstairs behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And they don't realize they're welcome.
Like the Wizard of Oz.
That they're welcome to join us. And so she's designed a nice poster for us. By the way, you can see her work, Carolyn Romano's work. She's displaying at the Montpelier Arts Center, 9652 Muir Kirk Road in Laurel, Maryland. She's displaying there through Friday. And next week, next Tuesday, she'll be here. We'll unveil her new poster.
Good.
We are going to be here at Ben's. Normally, we're every other week between here and the studio.
But it's a fifth
but it's
Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Fifth Tuesday.
So please join us. See our new poster.
Does the fifth Tuesday mean we have to serve the fifth estate?
No.
Okay.
It's
just checking.
All fine.
Didn't want to go over your heads. Okay.
You already did.
Okay.
So let's go back to the presidential race. I'm getting to the big names in a second. Let's deal with the smaller names first, because in some ways
they're so insignificant.
They're much more amusing.
No.
Speaking of amusing, you were talking, Garland, about Herman Cain.
Let me make a prediction, Mark.
All right.
Herman Cain will not win Mississippi. Okay. How's that? How's that? Something tells me that there is a certain element in the base that ain't going to take.
I thought
too kindly to one Mr. Herman Cain.
I thought it was fascinating. The first debate, the one that nobody watched because we were all worried about Bin Laden and how he was killed. In the first debate, Tim Pawlenty was there, who I think is a serious candidate and a serious threat to Romney, and Frank Luntz, the Republican pollster who gives Republicans things like, oh, say the death tax, not the estate tax.
Yeah.
And, you know, say pro-life, not anti-abortion. You know, all these things that he declared, his focus group declared Herman Cain, CEO of Godfather's Pizza, man who's never held office, the winner of the first Republican debate, hands down. I think what's going on here is Frank Luntz is trying to say, we're okay with the black candidate.
Yeah.
See, we even declared the black candidate.
Yeah, tokenism going on there.
We're fine with that.
Right.
Yeah. Now, when we ignore him, it's because of his policies.
Yeah.
And
his pizza was a little pasty.
Yeah, right.
No one should take him seriously as a candidate because he's not a serious candidate.
Oh.
But I do think it's fascinating and a weird sort of tokenism that Frank Luntz said he won the first debate. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me?
And the thing about it is this, from the perspective of the ideologue, he did, because all he gave was your standard rhetoric. And, you know, ideologues love standard rhetoric. It's so easy to do, and they just sat there. And let's face it, Pawlenty's there. He's got the the charisma of a bag of Fritos.
Yeah, I mean,
no, Fritos have more crunch.
Yeah,
right. Pawlenty's. You know, I hate to say it because I like Kucinich, but he's the Kucinich of the Republicans.
Yeah,
he hasn't.
Yeah, I think you're.
You know, I mean, he hasn't got the visual appeal. You know, that's what it comes down to.
The charisma.
Did you read this astounding fact? This is a fact done by surveys. 70% of Americans decide upon who they're going to vote for as president within the first month or so. 70%.
And 92% of statistics are made up.
No.
So,
dismiss it
if you will.
But I mean, that's why Pawlenty hasn't got a chance, because he does not have the charisma.
No.
We'll talk about Pawlenty in a minute. Let me finish.
We just did.
Let me finish my minor candidates, because I don't think it's a minor candidate.
Okay, well, enough on Cain. You know,
All right. No. Let's talk about Ron Paul, because I think he does represent an important sliver of the American electorate, the isolationist, the libertarian. One thing about Ron Paul, I give the guy credit. He's a true believer.
He's consistent.
He's not a faker. Yeah.
He's
not someone like Romney or Pawlenty who changes his positions every day. He's anti-war. In many ways, he agrees with Dennis Kucinich on foreign policy.
Yeah.
He's pro-legalization of marijuana.
He has, and heroin, I might add.
And everything
and
else.
Everything else.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
in the debate.
Libertarian, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, right.
All drugs are fine. Yeah. And he's never, ever voted for a single spending bill in Congress.
Yeah, but
ever.
I think, you know,
on defense,
think,
on Medicare, on Social Security,
you know,
nothing.
He is a true believer, and he's not dumb. There's no question about it.
I didn't say he was dumb.
I think he's too smart to continue. I think he'll be one of the first to drop out.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Ron
oh, yeah.
Paul has a message. He's not there to win. He's there to spread his message.
But,
he'll
but,
be one of
no,
the
no, no,
last
no.
to drop out.
No, because the point is he's already got his message out there. He already has power, and he gets caught in the debates. It's going to diminish what power and image
Terry,
he has.
Do you remember
right
what
now,
happened 4 years ago?
Right now, he is within Republicans. He is on a pedestal.
Terry.
And he is not dumb enough to get off that pedestal.
4 years ago, Ron Paul, I believe, was the last candidate to
yeah.
get out of the race. He stayed after Huckabee got out.
He's going to be one
he
of the guys.
It was just McCain and Paul.
Yeah. Every 4 years. Yeah, I think every 4 years he's going to be a guy that gets in.
This isn't Stassen.
Message,
you know, this isn't
and then
Stassen.
It goes through the,
or Jesse Jackson.
Does anybody
yeah.
remember
Yeah, Jesse
Stassen?
Jackson did it over and over. There's going to be there's certain people that do that.
The idea yeah. was he represents a sliver that will always be there, that will not desert him, that will never give him a majority.
Yeah.
I think Ron Paul stays to the bitter end.
And in either case, he's not a serious candidate in that sense.
No, but he'll
he
get
really
third.
Yeah,
he'll,
yeah,
get,
yeah.
he'll get third or fourth in virtually every.
Yeah, he'll be around. He'll be around
every race. All
he
right.
sticks, and he sticks around to point out the flaws in the other candidates on both sides.
That's
you
right.
know, he sits. I think that's what he does more than anything else.
Yeah.
He's there so he can be in the midst of the conversation and he can point out the things that
Which?
He strongly disagrees with. From all of the other mainstream conventional candidates.
Which I actually appreciate.
It serves a purpose.
You know,
it serves
really
a purpose.
Does, yeah.
The
Politically.
Next candidate, and the one that I predict will be the first one to drop out of the race, is former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum.
Oh, yeah. gosh.
His days are gone.
Sorry.
They're past.
Nice
and
try.
The idea of doing a that social conservatives, that's what this country wants right now. He's fighting the tide of history.
Yeah,
I,
sorry.
Rick Santorum's
yeah, I mean,
gone.
You know, it's sad, but that's
all right,
the way Cookberry. It is.
That leaves the big three. And I'm going to argue that John Huntsman isn't even part. He may be number three, but he's not the top two. And let me tell you why, and then you can disagree with me.
Okay.
John Huntsman is a former governor of Utah.
Yep.
He's the current ambassador to China. I think he just withdrew
yep.
from that, which suggests that he is running. He was appointed by Obama. He actually put his country ahead of his party, and he doesn't have a shot. He supported the stimulus package. He
Uh-oh.
Is a reasonable, moderate who does not have a chance in today's Republican
oh, no.
Party.
No
I say John Huntsman will be tarred as Obama's man and out of there by the third primary.
Oh,
let,
yeah.
let me give you a different perspective on this. And this is a totally different perspective, and this is serious. There's two things that scare the heck out of me. One is Mitt Romney.
We're going to get to
and
him.
And two is Pawlenty.
We're going to get to him, too.
Because both of these guys, Pawlenty is an evangelist. Mitt Romney, as you know, is Mormon, and I've
so
had,
is John Huntsman.
Yes,
who we're talking
there's
about
a
right
very
now,
big
Terry.
Difference. Very big difference in their Mormonism, and I've had a lot of association within the Mormon Church and with Mormon leaders and people, etc. And the flaw and the danger with both of these people is they believe that they have the absolute truth. They really, really believe this.
So let's get back to Huntsman. You're saying
Huntsman,
he's not like that.
Huntsman is not like that at all. And he will not probably win much support in Utah. But he is that middle person that the Republican Party, if it has any chance at all,
Which,
has to go to.
And
I don't think that they will vote for a moderate. He has actually used the M word. He's and I don't think that – it used to be the L
you
word, liberal, was a bad word.
You think they're so
Republican
dumb
Party?
They're going to throw now, away
look,
any reasonable election?
I do.
And I'll say another M word.
Underestimate
Let me say another M word. Remember who we're talking about when we talk about the Republican Party. You know, the one thing that we do – that we never, we don't talk about, you know, we don't talk about ethnicity and things of that nature when it comes to politics. And they're very important. There were those of us who said when, what's his name, Mr. 9/11 from New York ran.
Giuliani may still
when he
run.
Ran, when he ran the first time and he was way out ahead, there were those of us who said, he's Italian, he's Catholic, he's from New York, he has no chance, I don't care how far he is out ahead. When he goes to the WASPy South, and this is a reality, the WASPy South, they're not going to vote
you know
for
what
him.
It is? It's not that
now,
he's Italian, he's a New Yorker.
Well, and let me say this.
Southerners don't like New Yorkers.
I don't believe that a person who is a Mormon is going to win the nomination. It's simple as that. The South is where, you know, that's where the base is. You have to win a lot in the South. The WASPy base in the South is not going to vote for a Mormon. I just don't believe that a Mormon can win.
What you don't know, the Republican nominee. One, you have no idea how much money is involved in this and how much power there is in the Mormon church. You have no idea how many Mormons of great power there are in the military that are throughout the financial
system. Our majority leader, Harry Reid, the financial system.
And I'm not condemning it. I'm just saying they're there. And the amount of money that either Huntsman or Romney can raise is phenomenal.
No one talks
about
that.
And the other thing is cultural, which you're bringing up.
Have you seen,
I haven't had the privilege of seeing it yet. I want to see it. The Book of Mormon on Broadway is literally succeeding in changing the perception at a phenomenal rate as a hit musical that it is.
In New York City, where people are tolerant of things.
Do you think it's going to stay in New York City?
It ain't going to Mississippi.
I don't think that Columbia, South Carolina is going to have the Book of Mormon.
You underestimate, too, because what you miss about Mormonism is it is essentially fundamentalism. And that has a great appeal.
It's not just fundamentalism.
It has a great appeal in the South, and their membership in the South is huge.
No, Terry, I know for a fact. As the only Southerner on the panel, I could tell you.
When you were in the South, that was back during the war, child. I can tell you that no evangelical
Christian considers Mormons to be real Christians.
Yep.
They may be nice people.
And how do you think Romney got the support from all those people?
I don't think he'll get it, which brings me to
the top two.
Let me talk about the top two, because I think right now it's a two-man race.
Okay.
Between Tim Pawlenty and Mitt Romney. Let's talk about both of them.
Okay.
All right? Mitt Romney is Mormon. We're going to talk about that.
I'm not condemning Mormonism by saying this. Well, I want to make that clear.
Our leader in the Senate, Harry Reid, is Mormon. Nobody ever talks about the fact the leader of the Democrats in the Senate is Mormon, because Democrats really don't care.
Yeah.
But Mitt Romney has been anointed the front runner in the press. After all, he was number two last year to John McCain. The Republicans traditionally take the guy that got second in the primary last time and put him forward this time. He has the best name recognition, and of course he's ahead in all the polls right now.
And he's got the money.
And he also supported health care in Massachusetts in a very similar plan to the Affordable Health Care Act the Democrats passed, with an individual mandate and everything else.
And he's wearing that albatross around his neck. So he's going to succeed?
That plus Mormonism. I would argue that the guy that is down at 4% in the polls, who I think will be the nominee, I'm going to say it right here, is going to be Tim Pawlenty. Because Tim Pawlenty, he's an evangelical Christian.
Yep.
He's from Minnesota. He seems harmless, even if he isn't. And his apostasy, which was cap and trade, he has completely rejected.
It's a good choice of words. I'm glad you brought that in.
Well, that's because that's how the Republicans treat it.
I know you supported what we Republicans supported
5 years ago. Once Obama supports it, you can't support it anymore. He's not Mormon. He will play well in South Carolina. I think he's going to win Iowa.
Romney will win New Hampshire, and Pawlenty wins South Carolina.
Where am I wrong?
Where you and I always disagree, and this is, you know, fundamental, is you look at things in terms of a practical, systematic way as opposed to cultural ways. People vote because of their emotions. They do not vote on policy.
People don't like Romney, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and they ain't going to like Pawlenty
Why won't they like Pawlenty?
You want the real?
He's harmless. He's boring.
You want the real reason, and I hate to even say it because
he doesn't look good.
Our politics is so shallow, and it is this shallow. Yes, because he doesn't look good.
He doesn't look good. And he doesn't have any charisma.
No.
He's very bland.
You've got to have charisma to be president of the United States in this day and age.
And you've got to.
Abe Lincoln couldn't get elected today. Are you kidding?
George Bush Senior didn't have much charisma. George Bush Senior did not have much charisma.
I think he had some gravitas.
Yeah. And he inherited it.
Did Nixon have charisma? Is that before our time? Is that count?
Why did Nixon lose to Kennedy? I mean, that's what happened. You've got to understand. That's when everything began to shift.
Al Gore beat George Bush, and gosh knows he has no charisma.
That's not true. Al Gore has some gravitas.
And all of those guys have more charisma than Tim Pawlenty.
Pawlenty, yeah.
Pawlenty,
yes.
My gosh. I mean, the guy's could make a great straight man for a comedian, a pair of comedians.
I mean, it's sad.
About the best
he
could
do. But that is the fact. That's what people are going to react
yeah.
to.
Have you seen Tim Pawlenty's ads?
But you know what? This conversation is bearing out and what we're actually hearing in the media. A lot of people in the Republican Party are now saying, we feel that there's somebody out there that's going to win, but they're just not in there yet.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
hear that?
That's right,
because
yeah.
they all recognize that the field they have is so weak that there's no one there. They can't even see how any of the people running now could win their own nomination.
Yeah.
It's going to be like if there was a generic Republican running who wasn't a person, like they just stuffed the dummy in, and put a hat on it.
I think
the dummy, you know, like a dead man winning as a, what's his name in Missouri?
Missouri, yeah.
What's his name? Lost to
Ashcroft.
A dead man. Ashcroft lost to a dead man. I think a dead man right now would be the most charismatic person.
I wouldn't
person,
be at all
fact.
Surprised if somebody does come out of, I don't know,
who?
Where.
Who?
I don't
that's
know.
The
problem. I don't know.
Giuliani?
Somebody,
that's the problem.
Michelle Bachmann? Sarah Palin?
That's
who?
The problem. They're hoping for this.
Jeb Bush?
Because they recognize they
Marco
have
maybe,
them.
Maybe Jeb Bush. He said no now.
No.
That name Bush, buddy, I don't think that's going to work real good.
I'll tell you who would love to, they'd love to jump in is Marco
Chris,
Rubio.
Chris, or Chris
no.
Christie.
Keith's Hispanic. Florida is an important state. He's Tea Party guy. He's very popular. He'll at least be vice president.
And here's the thing about it. It's funny that you say that he's Hispanic. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why that is very, very, very.
I'll
tell you why that's very, very important.
It's very important.
Do you remember why the Republicans put Sarah Palin in there?
Because she's a woman.
She's a woman.
Right.
And women aren't smart enough to understand policy. So they'll say, Hillary was a woman and I supported her. And even though this woman disagrees with everything that Hillary stands for, I'm so stupid, I'll support her.
Yes,
wait a minute.
Charisma.
And they also believe that all Latinos, they believed that all black people would say, wow, the head of the RNC is a black guy. I don't agree with anything he says, but I'm both. And they also believe that all Hispanics, it is that discounting entire groups as being so ignorant that all you have to do is put a member of their group there. And automatically, they're going to all vote in your direction.
But Rubio isn't just Hispanic. He's got charisma. He's got Tea Party backing. He's a formidable candidate.
I'm scared
of Rubio. I admit it.
You guys too far to the right.
You guys better be careful. Anthony is taking notes.
He's going to run as a Republican.
That's it. Maybe that's by it. The way, Anthony's anyone else in the audience who wants to comment or ask us a question, it doesn't just have to be Anthony. You're welcome to come up to the mic if you so wish.
Anthony, jump
in. But since Anthony's standing there
yeah.
and is chomping at the bit, you go right ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I mean, since I'm here, you know, I think we have to accept something. Republicans are a fundamentally racist party, and they're not interested, and they're not capable of submitting people of color to high office, and not to mention electing
them
for anything.
Certainly not now.
Not even close, which basically will remove Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush from any contention whatsoever.
Now, wait a minute. Why is it removing Jeb Bush?
Jeb Bush's
his wife is Hispanic.
His wife is Mexican, I believe.
It's Mexican.
Not to mention...
I think they might go that far. They might go that far. You know,
it's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
He's not.
It's possible.
You know, it didn't hurt his DNA.
Yeah,
you know?
So what next? Bobby Jindal?
No, it ain't.
Bobby Jindal.
He has no charisma.
People have talked about Bobby Jindal.
Yeah, but other than him being a bobblehead doll, he is still the foreign. He is the other. So he's not going to be accepted.
Right.
I mean, particularly when you talk about the immigration question.
Yeah.
You know, the Republicans are not going to be able to have this, you know, secure the border, kick them all out sort of mentality when their candidate is brown of skin and their candidate's wife's a brown of skin.
Anthony,
you know, it doesn't make any sense.
I think that the Republican Party has always seen Cubans as sort of different from other Latinos.
Which Cubans? What part of the island do these Cubans
Right.
No, no.
When did they come
to
the border?
The white Cubans.
Those who are Spanish descent.
That's right. They do make that distinction. Cubans have been very loyal to the Republican Party. They're the only Latinos who are. Every other Latino group is loyal to the Democratic Party.
Okay, Anthony.
I actually think Marco Rubio is a threat.
Who is the Republican candidate to be, Anthony?
You know, I really don't know yet, but I agree with the straw man object that, you know, if you can re-energize Ronald Reagan, he could win tomorrow. But the point is, I don't think we know
he's
yet.
He's too liberal for today's Republican Party, Anthony.
We're talking about the essence of Ronald Reagan, not the real politician.
You can assume his bones and run them, and they could beat this crowd.
We really don't know yet. I think that the ground is moving a little too quickly right now, and most of the people we're talking about now, we will not be talking about.
You're
very
exactly
short
right.
Order.
If nothing else, in our system, with 18 months of this pathetic farce, you're just going to bore the living heck out of the American public.
Oh, one other thing.
And somebody that comes in late can have a lot.
I'm not even saying it's a timing issue.
Right.
I'm just simply saying that everybody who's firing their guns now were known quantities. And because they were known quantities, it makes it less likely for them to be able to win. So somebody who's going to show up is going to be an unknown quantity.
Well, which,
in the
which,
game
which frankly helped President Obama
pocket.
4 years
ago. Absolutely.
But you see, that's what Huntsman can be.
No,
he's
a Obama.
There's an alternative perspective, and that always comes out. And that is the Republicans who would really be credible candidates, such as Chris Christie, are looking at the lay of the land, and they're saying right now, with the politically the way things are,
Obama
grabbing Bin Laden, slapping him around, etc., we need to wait until 2016.
Chris Christie is running in 2016. Yeah. Marco Rubio's running in 2016.
Running against an incumbent president is generally going to, you're not going to beat him.
I think you're right.
Period.
And smarter
so these people are sitting there.
The smarter candidates.
So that's what I do.
You're leaving out the economy.
They're staying out of the race.
No, I understand.
You know, and as long as the economy stays in the toilet,
it
will.
The economy is slowly getting better.
Oh, it is not
as much as the Republicans don't want it to.
That is bull. You know, that really ticks me off. Because if you look at the average American, that is simply not happening. I can give you the perfect example. You may have heard Hoover opening a new plant, an old plant, in the Detroit area with workers who were making $20 an hour before the plant closed. They're now making $7.50 an hour.
Yep.
There is nothing in the economy that is going to do anything for the next 2 years except benefit the rich, and it's still going to be in the toilet, and the Republicans are going to use that. And that's going to be big.
That's why the Republicans don't want the economy
Pardon
to
me
improve.
For getting a little
right, but I got to tell you, unemployment is going down.
Wait a minute. Let's inject some intellect into this conversation here for trying out
loud. We have another listener, Josh.
Enough
welcome.
You guys.
Thank you.
Make your comments.
A couple things. By that standard, the economy hasn't gotten better in 10 years because median incomes haven't increased in 10 years.
That's right.
The second thing, Mark knows, I think Hunt is going to win the nomination. I think that the Republicans at the end of the day want Obama out there so bad that they're going to say, who can possibly beat Obama in a general election? It's not going to be Pelini. The elites are going to coalesce around Huntsman, who voters will be able to tell the difference between, you know, Secretary of the Treasury and appointment to China. They'll see that as foreign policy experience. They won't count that against them.
So, Josh, you actually think that Republicans will put practicality ahead of ideology? That's what you're saying.
My main argument is that
you actually a step behind that.
My main argument is a New Hampshire Republican voter is different than an Iowa Republican voter. Yep. Huntsman can't win Iowa, but he can do well enough in New Hampshire
that he
can start to build momentum. But that's not my question.
Okay.
My question has to do with another potential GOP candidate that Politico reported on today. Besides Giuliani, they reported that George Pataki is thinking about possibly entering the race, and I was wondering if you guys knew what you guys thought of his prospects if he were to enter.
That's news to me. I think he's old news.
Yeah.
Wait. Josh made us speechless.
For half a second.
He shut down the road. But here's the thing, though. Again, he's a Yankee. You know, he's a New Yorker. New Yorker. I just don't see that happening down south.
You got to come from the West.
And your first comment about why they would go with Huntsman, it was logical.
Yep.
And it was reasonable.
Yep.
And that's why it ain't going to happen. Because there's nothing logical and reasonable about politics.
This is the Republican Party. Did I need to remind you
of that? Well, and I always say, and here's something I got to say, and that is, politics is funny. Because it's the one area in our lives where we convince ourselves that we're operating off of pure logic and reason.
Charlie.
It is exactly the opposite.
I've never accused you of using logic or reason.
It's because you don't understand. It's cultural and it's emotional.
No, I know about you.
Well, why bother? It's not a logical situation when I need logic.
In fact, think about it.
Logic.
If they were logical and reasonable, we wouldn't have had what happened in Delaware. We wouldn't have had what happened in Colorado.
If they were logical and reasonable, we wouldn't have the Raucous
Caucus,
for
pity's sake. The ideologues that are dragging the party around right now, I think, are going to really shoot themselves in their collective feet.
They didn't have to beat Obama. In 2012, they're going to say, well, I really want to beat Obama. I'm not going to worry about principle as much as beating Obama.
I'll tell you this, Josh. I think you're right about the leaders of the party. You're right about Karl Rove.
Yep.
You're right about the people that run Fox News.
You're right about the
mature people who care more about a win
And you're right about the money.
And you're right about the money.
Yeah.
But you're not right, I don't think, about the person who attends the Iowa caucus and sits there for 3 hours because they're a Christian conservative and they want to see God's law imposed here.
Sure. Now, Huntsman's not going to win Iowa, but another thing, difference between 2010 and 2012 is momentum. In 2010, you have one election, you have, you know, and that's it. But in momentum doesn't, you know, momentum plays in the sense that people think, oh, they're probably going to do well, and some people might stay home, whatever. But in the sense that you can get a surprising finish in Iowa or second in New Hampshire, and that can build momentum from one area to the next, is a big difference between looking at 2010 and looking at 2012.
Very good point.
Thank you, Josh.
Josh, take one of these chairs here.
Right. Would you preferably, preferably marked.
Yeah. So now let's sum up here.
Okay.
I say it is a Romney Pawlenty race. I think it's going to be neck and neck. I think either man can win, but I think Pawlenty actually is more dangerous because I think he can win South Carolina, and I think he may just take it. Terry?
I think Josh should run. You know,
I support that. I will vote for Josh over anyone in the Republican race.
And besides that, you know, I hate to say it.
You think it's Huntsman, Romney?
I think it's Huntsman, but out of all this passion and all this angst, my real sense is, frankly, at this point, I don't give a damn.
You're not going to make a prediction.
I don't give a damn at this point. I really honestly don't. It's months away before there's anything significant going to happen. This is all just a little farce and a little game that we have to wander through for the next few months.
That's the American political system.
You know, yeah, I know, but it's all BS, and it's not going to matter until a couple of months before the – you know, maybe 5 months before the convention, six
all right,
months
Terry
before the convention.
All right, Terry Punt, Garland.
Yes, well, I think we have clearly demonstrated that, like everyone else, we don't really have a clue. But I think Josh made a great point, and that is, if it's kind of a scattered outfield and nobody really, really, really knows even going into it, it's going to be who gets momentum early. It could
be
anybody.
That's always the case. But come on, give me a prediction. Who are the top two in the race, and who's going to win it?
It ain't going to be Romney.
Daniel Snyder.
Romney's not even going to be in the top two?
No.
He's not going to win.
He's not going to win. So who's going to win?
That leaves Huntsman. But I don't think a Mormon can win.
So you predict
I don't believe in the Mormon can win the
Mormons. Huntsman is just enough Mormon and just enough not Mormon.
He's too moderate, and he's associated with Obama.
Terry, the fact that you actually can stomach Huntsman means he has no chance of winning a Republican nomination.
Actually, no.
He doesn't hate Obama. He doesn't think Obama's
right.
from another. From
right.
Oh, we got to clap for that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For Huntsman.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, there you have it.
She's reasonable, which means she has no chance.
She's listening to the Rockies.
Between Josh and Courtney and Anthony, you know.
Remember the Adlai Stevenson quote? Remember the Adlai Stevenson quote when they said any thinking man would vote for you? And he said, that's not enough. We need a majority.
Yeah, that's right.
Let me tell you something. The Republican Party for the last 3 years has been the party of no Obama. It has been the party of no. It has been the party of Obama is everything. He's a Nazi. He's not born here. He's a socialist. He's a Muslim. Every single crazy idea they could throw at Obama, they have. There is a Obama hatred that I would argue is what gets people to the polls in the Republican Party, gets them to the caucuses, gets to the primaries, and they're not going to vote for a guy appointed by Obama to be ambassador to China.
You're also forgetting that there are a great number of people, unfortunately. Cornel West leading the charge, that are so disillusioned, rightly or wrongly, you can argue it forever, but they're so disillusioned with Obama that he is going to lose strength for this election as well.
All right, so will Obama win re-election, Terry?
It's questionable at this point.
Questionable, come on. Yes or no?
It's a good chance he won't because the economy is going to be in the toilet.
I think Obama will eke it out a re-election with a closer margin than he won in 08.
Yeah, I think right now 75 to 80. Well, for God's sake, he won by like 9 million electoral votes.
Well, he won 53-47, which is a landslide.
Yeah, no, but
in
I'm
America,
saying when you look at the electoral votes, my God, you know.
Well, 75-25 electoral votes.
But
right.
I'd say 75 to 80% chance right now that he wins.
I don't see any formidable candidate running against him. Now, immediately, when you run. You get, yeah, I mean, listen, no one thought Obama was formidable.
John.
In 07.
Yeah. Nobody thought Clinton was formidable.
That's true.
He wasn't.
So give them a chance. Someone has to rise in the mix. Maybe Pawlenty will get a personality. Who knows?
You're right.
He'll
borrow one from Michelle Bachmann. She has a personality.
She has too much.
Yeah.
So she has an overflow. Yeah, maybe she'll give
you
some.
You do believe in the impossible.
And Terry has a couple extra personalities.
Yeah,
she can borrow one of mine.
Yeah, sure.
We have to wrap it up.
Six I've got now.
And only three are allowed on the air. We have to wrap it up, but we're going to be back here at Ben's Next Door next week, 1211 U Street. We hope all of you listening to us will join us. We'd love to meet you in person. We'd love to chat with you on the issues of the day. This is WPFW 89.3 FM. This is the Rock.
We have some people
caucus,
to thank.
And we thank Drew,
who is on our board tonight.
Yeah. And let's hear it for Drew. Come on. Give the man some credit here. And we got David at the studio.
All right.
Absolutely. We want to thank our friends down at the Solomon's Winery.
We want to thank Nizam Ali.
Yes.
For having us here at Bed
and
Next
we
Door.
Want to thank Josh and Anthony for bringing some reason and perspective into the discussion.
Yes.
That's true.
Let's hear it for Josh and Anthony. Come on.
Thank you. We will see you next week.
FW Washington.